We've got some open lines for you tonight. Before we get started, a hearty hello to all of you listening on your favorite radio stations across the country and in Canada. Appreciate that. By the way, I talked a little bit about the ratings we got several weeks ago for New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, number one in all those huge cities. Thank you to all of you. But in almost every market now, we are either very strong number ones with numbers that defy logic, quite frankly, or these numbers are growing and growing and growing by leaps and bounds. And I want to thank you from all of us here at Coast to Coast for making that happen. And without you, that wouldn't be happening. We wouldn't be telling you that success story. So thank you very much. Those of you listening on Streamlink, of course, the backbone of Coast to Coast as well, and your own chat room now called the Coast Riders. Hope you're all having a great ride tonight on Coast to Coast. So you just get ready to roll. XM Radio, those of you, of course, at the NighthawkZone.com, perhaps the fastest growing internet chat room around, with a special hello to De Scribbler. I like that name, De Scribbler. Fantastic Forum Pirates, Imaginative Worlds, folks. Hi to all of you. National Radio Club, Sorcery IRC, some of the Yahoo chats that Yahoo allows you to chat. Hi to all of you. Thanks again for supporting Coast to Coast, and hope you have a great weekend and happy Halloween. And don't forget, Monday night, you know, like turkey is to Thanksgiving, Ghost to Ghost is to Halloween. Art Bell will be hosting Ghost to Ghost Monday night. So get ready for that one heck of a show. Well, there's a house for sale in my hometown of St. Louis. It's at the 8400 block of Roanoke Drive. I don't know if I should buy this house. I'd like to. Maybe we should all pitch in and buy it. Because this was the house where a little 13-year-old boy in the late winter of 1949 lived in after he traveled from suburban Washington, D.C., convinced the child was possessed by the devil. Jesuit priests from St. Louis University performed a grueling month-long exorcism on the boy, at last freeing the teen from Satan's grasp in the psych ward at the then Election Brothers Hospital that's been knocked down now. Chad Garrison writes an incredible story in the Riverfront Times about this entire situation. True story. I almost had a chance to interview one of the priests who has died now, who was at that exorcism. That priest had his nose broken by this 13-year-old boy. It was his job to hold this kid down while the priests performed the exorcism. And it took weeks and weeks and weeks for this to happen. But the boy just reared up and he hit the priest right in the nose. 13 years old, broke his nose. It was incredible. The priest at that time, he was 27 years old. He died. He was 83 when he died. An incredible story. Now, that, of course, is where the movie The Exorcist was made from. During the various spells, there was a book, a diary taken by this priest. And apparently, this is what happened. The diary reports that the boy saw a vision of the devil in 10 of his helpers. I don't know how many of you have heard this before. A vision of the devil and 10 of his helpers engaged in a fiery battle with Saint Michael the Archangel. At one point during this dream that this boy was having, the angel smiled at the boy and said, "Dominus," which is Latin for the Lord, the word the boy vowed he'd never say that morning when he was possessed by the devil. The exorcised boy, presumably his name is Ronald Hunkeler, nobody's heard that before, is reported to be living somewhere on the East Coast. He's alive right now. He's 70 years old. Rumor has it that he named his first son Michael after the archangel who rescued him from Satan's clutches. Ronald apparently has never spoken about the exorcism. Never. But the house is for sale. For $169,900, the owners have asked that nobody really talk about this where the little boy lived. Now, they performed the actual final exorcism in the hospital where he was in that psych ward. But they also had gone to the house on numerous occasions in the boy's room where he was doing some of these satanic things because he was possessed. So the owners are having trouble selling the house. Who would want to buy that house and move in there? I do not know, but wouldn't it be interesting? We get 169,000 of you. We all put in a dollar, and we buy the house, and we go and do a show out of there one day when I go back to St. Louis, because they're not going to let me in there to do a show because they don't want it publicized. But what an incredible story. That house is actually there and up for sale. Well, tonight's a prelude to the Halloween weekend. A lot of people celebrate tonight, mostly on Saturday, even though the official day for Halloween is on Monday. I'm going to open up some hotlines for you. But one is the Halloween hotline. I'll give you that number in just a moment. One of the reasons why is when I was a kid, my parents, by the way, and I have two sisters, did not want us to go inside the houses, okay? They just didn't want us to go inside houses. You know what? And they were right. I told that to my children as well, and I'm sure you've done that to yours. But we would go to the houses, get the candy, and do our thing. There was one house, I must have been about 10 or 11 years old, this really old lady came out. It's an old house, kind of off the beaten path of where all the other subdivision homes were. And, I mean, she looked like a witch, and she was not in costume. And she had that crackly voice, and she'd come to the door, and she'd give us, like, cookies, no store-bought candy. And she just scared the heck out of us. Creepy all the time. We very rarely saw her during the year. But around Halloween, she was there, and she had the house, you know, she had the pumpkins there and things like that, and she had the spider webs. I think these spider webs were real. They weren't like the ones they have today. And I'll never forget that moment for Halloween. So one of the things we'll do tonight, while we have just general open lines, I'm going to open up a Halloween hotline to see what you remember as probably one of your most memorable Halloween nights. That phone number is 818-817-0021. That's 818-817-0021. And oh, yes, the Digicam is up now. There's an icon that you'll see on the coasttocoastam.com website that says Digicam. You just click that. You might have to hit your refresh button, but you'll just click that. That'll take you right up to tonight's picture. And what it is, it's a picture of me. I mean, there has been a very long argument since I've been doing Coast to Coast for, it will be 5 years in April. My time flies. That people say, and of course I've said it as well, that I'm a computer voice. I am a high-tech piece of equipment that this network has installed, and it has the voice of a fellow, and he came in and just read the dictionary and most of the words correctly. And I'm a computer. Now, that's what people say, and I've said that on occasion too. So if you want to see a picture of me, you can just go to the Digicam icon on the coasttocoastam.com website. Open lines continue in a moment. Don't go away. And welcome back to Open Lines, which I am looking forward to. So let's go, first of all, to the Halloween hotline. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Welcome. So you remember one of your memorable Halloweens?
Oh, yeah.
What happened?
Well, there was this one house that was offset away from the neighborhood where I grew up in. And there's five or six of us. We're all out together. She's got the lights on, so we go over. And we never saw this person in this house, ever. You never saw anybody there. We go over, knock on the door, Matt, think it, if you remember back to when they had Bugs Bunny cartoons.
Oh, sure.
There was the monster with the red fur, and all you saw was his high-top sneakers.
Yes.
Well, she opens up the door, and there's a guy dressed in a costume. All you can see is his feet and the high-top sneakers, the red fur, and he's just rocking side to side.
Oh.
There's another guy in what looked like a real coffin, you know, with the two doors.
In the house?
In the house. The bottom door, so you can't see him above his waist, is closed. The top door is propped open. It's propped up at like a 45-degree angle, and this guy is laughing like a hyena. All she would say to anybody is, yes, yes, in this weird voice, like she just, you know, sucked helium out of a balloon. We all kind of hold up the bag. She drops a nickel in each of our bags and closes the door.
Which was pretty good money in those days.
Yeah. Well, we looked around at each other and go, we're out of here. And all you saw was us leaving.
What was it like during the next day or two when Halloween kind of faded away and you still could see that house?
Oh, well, we had to walk by it every day going to school. And it was like, and you never saw, like I said, you never saw anybody there. There was never a car. It had a garage. The garage was always open. There was never a car in the garage, but you never saw the windows open. You never, the shades were always drawn. And I mean, I can close my eyes. I can see the house, and I can see that lady the one time I saw her, because every Halloween after that, we never went back.
What city was that in?
That was just outside of Boston in a place called Needham, Massachusetts.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, see, that's spooky all by itself in that older area. That's something. And you're right. How old were you?
We were probably about 10, 11.
Yeah. Stick with you for the rest of your life.
Yep.
That's great. Great story. Thanks.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi.
Hi. What's going on?
Rebecca calling from, well, right now I'm driving through South Florida. But the story that I had that I had mentioned, I was kind of curious maybe to get some help with it and see if somebody can give me some idea. I was coming back from the Best Ranger competition at Fort Benning, Georgia.
Okay.
And driving along, and I noticed that a truck driver had pulled in front of me, almost completely wiped me off the road. I figured because he was swerving a lot, he was probably really tired, needed coffee. And so I went into rescue mode. I used to work for the fire department, so I was like, immediately got, you know, was concerned.
It kicked
in. Followed him along, missed my turn, had no idea I missed my turn, pulled into a place, got coffee. He got into the next place, got coffee. And as I'm continuing down the road, I mean, I'm not far from the I-10. I know I'm not. But I've been driving for so long, and I have no problem pulling over, asking directions, which I did multiple times. And everybody kept telling me the same thing, these little tiny towns. Oh, you just go down a little ways, you find the I-10 sign, no problem. And I would do that, never finding the I-10. Okay? I'm driving now. Finally, I'm going on this one road. I feel like I'm going parallel to I-10. Both sides of the road have huge ditches, thick trees, and it was pitch black, no moon, nothing. And I'm riding along. And finally, I'm so tired, I just can't keep my eyes open anymore. I look to my passenger seat. Of course, there's nobody in the vehicle with me. And I'm like, you know what? You guys drive. I give up. And I just pass out. I wake up in the morning. I'm sitting in my driveway.
How'd you get there?
I don't know. I was hoping maybe one of your listeners, would know to let me know, because I've had like weird instances like stuff like that happen. And
that is strange.
Like, yeah, and I had dreams when I was 5 years old. And,
all right, maybe we'll get some of those strange calls tonight that will help you out. Have you ever been on a road like you were, pitch black, and you just have to find out how dark is it really out there? So you shut the lights off in your car, and for that split second, you can't see anything. And it's one of the scariest moments. It's just a weird feeling when you can't see anything, when you're looking at pitch darkness. You got to turn those lights on real fast. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hi there. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, welcome to the program.
This is Ailey's. WRVA in Richmond, Virginia.
Well, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I just wanted to ask a question about a Ouija board.
Oh, yeah?
I've heard so much about it and being a curse, and I always thought it was just a game myself.
Well, I used to think it was, too, until I started playing around with it. It's not really a game.
Oh, well, I've had this Ouija board over 60 years, I guess.
60 years? What's it made out of? Wood?
I don't know. It's kind of a fiber board.
60-year-old Ouija board? Do you know who made it?
No, not right off.
I assume you've used it.
Oh, yes.
Nothing has happened? Nothing strange and weird?
Well, I don't know of anything strange and weird. I've had some bad luck from time to time.
I could be.
But
has it worked, though, when you touch the planchette, which is that thing that goes around and pulls out those words? Has it worked and spelled out anything?
I don't have all of that on mine. Mine's just a,
what's yours?
A board that has the alphabet and numbers on it, and it you use this little...
Yeah, how do you get to the letters?
Well, this little, I don't know what you call it, little thing that you hold, the two people hold their hands on it, and then it moves on its own.
Yeah, that's the planchette.
Oh, okay.
And you kind of like look in the middle. There's like a little thing, little
pinpoint. Yeah, sort of like a little thumbtack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the planchette.
But I always, you know, it was given to me when I was a teenager, and we just played with it, and I've just kept it all this time. But I've heard so much about it having a curse on it and all that I'm wondering about trying to get rid of it.
Want to sell it? I'll buy it $50,000. Would you sell it to me for $50,000?
Well, $50,000 what?
Yeah, really.
Pennies. I'll sell it to anybody that wants it. But I'm thinking about trying to get rid of it.
I don't want it. Somebody's going to want it.
Well, what I want to do, I heard...
eBay it. Put it on eBay. They'll buy it. They buy anything on that thing.
Well, I heard that somebody tried to put it in the fire and burn it up, and it jumped out or something. And
oh, yeah. That has happened.
Really?
Oh, yeah. You're supposed to get rid of them by burning it. And that caller tried to get rid of it, and this Ouija board was just a little too strong. It just jumped right out of the old fire.
Oh, I can't believe it.
It's true.
Well, I had thought about just throwing it in the trash and let the
trash
collector pick it up.
Well, yeah, and then something happens to him, you'll feel bad.
Yes, I would. So you think the best thing to do is to burn it?
Yeah. So what are you dressing up as for Halloween?
Just myself.
Give me a cackle laugh. I love it. Okay, thanks. Have a great Halloween.
Okay, thank you.
How about that? Hey, by the way, remember, I think it was last year, I narrated the Country Music Television's Most Shocking Ghost Stories. Well, they're going to re-air it this weekend, as a matter of fact, Sunday, October 30th, 3 o'clock to 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Pacific Time, and then 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, Pacific Time. That's Sunday. However, don't forget to have changed your clocks by then, or you'll be all screwed up in terms of the time. That was an incredible story of ghost stories that we had, including the infamous Bell Witch and some other haunted houses. So that'll be on this weekend, Sunday, CMT's Most Shocking Ghost Stories, if you want to just pop in and take a look at that. I'll be back in a moment as open lines continue right here on Coast to Coast AM. And the Halloween hotline is 818-817-0021. Boy, I've seen a lot of stories in my 36 years of broadcasting. Listen to this one. A cat ran off with its owner's toe after he accidentally chopped it off and then left it on the floor while he went to call an ambulance. He's 41 years old from Germany, was slicing bread in his kitchen when he dropped a large kitchen knife onto his bare foot, chopping off his toe. Now, while he was hopping to the bathroom to get a bandage and call the emergency medical people, his cat, Fritz, pounded on the toe and ran off with it in the garden. He tried to catch him, but he could only limp. That is an incredible story. True story. True story out of Germany. As you know, for some time, we've been working on trying to do a seance, a live seance here on Coast to Coast. I have several producers that work diligently on this program. Lisa Lyon with her guests and Tom Danheiser, who some of you talk to when you call first. He's the line producer, and Tom's been working on this as well. Tom, how realistic is the possibility of getting a real live seance in the studio?
We're very close. It's very realistic. We've got some people lined up, and we're talking to people, and we're very close.
And the people who are going to be doing the actual seance, they're experts. They've done these before, right?
Some of them. We might have a couple people who are not, which will kind of give it a feel of, you know, people not being experts, the realistic
possibility. And we are going to attempt to summon some dead folks right here in the studio when we're doing that seance.
That's correct. And we haven't figured out who we're going to call up yet. I'm sure that will be your call and our call, and we'll figure it out.
Okay. And if you had to put a time on this, when might it happen?
Month and a half, 2 months.
Okay. All right. We'll be ready.
So we're working on it.
We'll be ready. Thanks, Tom. Back to the phones. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM for the rest of your calls. Don't go away. And those of you who like to send instant fast blast messages to me, you can register for free at the coasttocoastam.com website. Just go to the homepage. On the left-hand side, you'll see Eyes of Sigmund Freud right around that area. You just click it and go register, and you can send us messages, and they come right to us instantly. Let's go west of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi there.
Yes, sir.
How are you, George?
Good, thank you.
First of all, you're the man.
Well, I try.
I just had a comment about numerology, something I think I might have discovered. I'm sure you know about gathering your birth date number and your name number.
Right. And a lot of people also need good numerologists. They also need what your time you were born and things like that, too. Or is that astrology? That's just plain astrology. Well, maybe they both do.
I'm not too sure. But what I've figured out is I got my birth date number. I got my name number. Together, they have a combined number, right? So my number is 1.
Okay.
What I figured out is that when I added up my social security number, my driver's license number, my bank of account, you know, my bank account numbers, my telephone numbers, they all add up to 1.
Do they?
Yeah, and this goes the same thing for my wife. Her number's 8.
And they're all 8s.
And they're all 8s.
That's weird.
It's very weird. And I was thinking, if this is such a mystical science, why is it practiced by all these, you know?
Okay, so like I'm born on June 4th, 1950. So what you're saying is you add 6, 4, 1, 9, 5, and you just add it.
Yeah, you add them all up until they become a single digit.
Right. And then if I do that with my social security number and all the, they might be the same, huh?
It works with, I've tried this with several of my friends. Some it works and some it doesn't. And there's two different methods you can use to figure out the numbers. There's the Pythagorean method, which is 1 through 9. There's the Chaldean method, which is used by people of the Jewish faith. That's only 1 through 8. And which is interesting is I've tried that with my Jewish friends, and it only works with the Chaldean method.
All right. Now, how often does it work? If you do it 10 times with 10 different people, what do you think those number odds might be?
I'd say 7 out of 10 people.
That's weird. That's high.
It is very high, and I'm just curious.
You know, the next time we get Glynis McCants on,
is that your number lady?
Yeah, our number's lady. I'm going to ask her that.
Yeah, I wish you would, because I think she's not mentioning something that should be known.
Yeah, that is interesting. I'll do it.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Halloween Hotline, welcome to the show. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hey, how's it going, George?
Good.
Hey, this is Mark from California, around the south area, southern Orange County.
Oh, yeah.
And just calling to tell you about a story just real quick. Around Halloween night, me and my friends in the spirit of the holidays were kind of messing around with, have you ever heard of Light as a Feather, Stiff as a Board?
Light as a feather, stiff as a board. I think we played that as a kid.
Yeah, where, you know, there's different ways to play. Some people just sit in a circle and...
Yeah, and you try to levitate them, right?
Right.
Okay, I remember that.
there's also a more practical way where you can use your four people try and lift one person up, usually of like, you know, heavy weight.
With your fingertips.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then it doesn't work, and then you can like say something, or you can put your hands in the middle, and then it will, you know, somehow work.
Yeah.
Anyways, long story short, that night we go trick-or-treating. We get home. I get home, and I live next door to my cousins, and a little girl appears in my doorway that I knew when I was younger. She hadn't died or anything that I know of. We were just, you know, my mom would bring me over to this woman's house to have me babysat. And she appears. And so, you know, I'm like 9 or 10 years old at the time. And I walk over to her and I'm like, what are you doing here? And she just takes me and throws me through the air. And I land on the bed. And then she comes at me. She lands on the bed, looks at me, disappears, and then reappears at the doorway again. So anyways, I'm like, wow, this is like really weird. And so I'm still kind of young, so I don't know exactly what to think.
Yeah.
Anyways, so I go over to her again. Same thing happens, throws me this and that, reappears at the doorway. This time I'm, you know, trying to pray and do everything I can, because I don't know what's really going on here. I'm like flipped out. I'm even kind of nervous talking about it.
And you're 9 years old when this was going on?
Yeah, I'm 22 now.
Okay.
So, you know, anyways, the reason why I know this really happened is because after I prayed, I kind of still saw her in the corner of my eye, but it was no longer like taking control of the situation. I could run through it. So I decided to run down the hallway to the parents' room. And as I was running, the face was going, just kind of like rushing through me, like, you know, 3 or 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, you know, sometimes something like that. And I was just, you know, ever since then, that's been my one story that, I mean, to
now,
this
now
day.
This girl, this little girl, you said she didn't die. So obviously she was a human being somewhere, right?
Somewhere.
As your neighbor?
Somewhere. Her mother's name was Nancy that I can recall. And it was just a little girl that I would play with. As far as I know, I mean, no one else, neither my brothers, I have three siblings. They never were watched by this woman. Only I was. So it was like one of those things where I say, hey, do you guys remember?
I mean, would you see this little kid when nothing strange would ever occur?
As a human, yes.
You would. Okay. So
right.
She'd be out playing and everything would be normal. But then every once in a while, these weird things would happen.
Just one time. And it, I mean, this was years down the road because I was probably 4 or 5.
Right.
When I would play with her.
Okay.
So this was, you know, 4 or 5 years down the road, maybe something might have happened and there was some contact. I don't know. But, I mean, this was something that I've always been, you know, I've tried to call in a few times to let you know. It just happened. You had the Halloween hotline, so.
And then gone. Never happened again.
Gone. Never happened. But ever since then, I've always been sensitive to the feeling of something that might be happening. Like if I walk into a house, I have like a kind of a sensitive, wow, this is not the right house I should be in.
Yeah.
Like there might be something here that might
something
like, that night
or something tragic or something could happen there.
Right. And so it's just a sensitive thing I've had, and none of my family's ever, you know, I woke up in the bed with them the next morning and they're like, man, you must have had a really bad dream. You ran in here just, you know, scared to death. And I'm, you know, of course I didn't really want to tell them at the time. I didn't know what they think of me and, you know, this or that. So, you know, but that's what happened, and just wanted to share my story with you.
Strange occurrence for a little kid at the time. All right, thank you. Appreciate you being part of the program. Next up, let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, this is Quentin from Park City, Oklahoma.
Hi, Clinton. What's going on?
Oh, not much. I missed your Halloween hotline number, so I had to call and tell this. This is a story that happened to my dad.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, him and his friend took his, we have a legend around here, a local Indian legend about deer woman. This woman's supposed to get killed. She came back as half deer, half woman, supposed to haunt this one bridge. So my dad, he takes him and his friend take their girlfriends out there, and they parked on that bridge, and they're just trying to spook his girlfriends. And they step out to use the bathroom, and as they're out there, his friend steps back on his old sick cow. And this cow just lets out, and they start running and just all over themselves and trying to get out of it. Ended up spooking him for the rest of his. He wouldn't go back to that bridge.
And there went the evening with the two girls.
Yeah, they left after that. they made them take them home.
Would you like to do the cow?
To do the cow?
One more time. I'd run too. Thanks. Oh my! Wild card line. You're on the air. Hi there.
Yes, this is Rob from Tampa.
Hey, Rob.
Is this George?
It sure is. You're on.
All right, George. Long time listener, first time caller. Got a couple quick questions that'll be right up your alley.
Okay.
And if we have time, a possible Halloween story. But that's
sure.
If we have time.
Well, we have some moments here.
I don't know if you heard a smattering like I did, but I heard a smattering about a man helping the Hurricane Katrina victims in New Orleans with food, first aid, and gospel messages, and he simply wanted to be known as the world teacher.
I have heard a story of that. I didn't know if, you know, I assume
a lot.
You don't
know who I'm talking about.
No, I don't know. I don't.
The Maitreya.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Tell me more. Now tell me.
I don't know
what I had heard is a lot of Good Samaritans had been down there doing things like that. Tell me about this one, though.
I just read it on a website. I was just kind of surfing through the net.
Oh,
and
no.
Just basically, because I go check out all the sites I can. I'm a big fan of Coast to Coast. And also my roommate was telling me about it. He said a man simply wanting to be referred to as the world teacher was helping hurricane victims in New Orleans.
And he just vanished when he was down.
Have you heard a smattering, anything of that nature?
No, that I have not.
Okay, I just kind of wanted to bring that to your attention.
However, now that you've brought it up, I shall probe that one.
Look into it. Please look into it. I would love to hear that addressed. And number two, are you at all going to, in the future, have Dr. Jack Van Empe on your show?
Yes, and I think Jack's been on before.
I'm sure he has. I never caught him, but
I know he's been on before. I don't remember the date, but he has been on before.
Oh, okay.
We'll probably have him on again.
Oh, good to hear. And my Halloween story is I'm from Ohio. There's a little town in Vermilion, Ohio, that's known to, it used to have an orphanage known as the Gore Orphanage that burned down. Mm. And at night, especially around Halloween time, me and my buddies went there numerous times. It's a burnt ground. It's in the Metro Parks. If you go through the woods, you'll see the ruins of the orphanage.
They're still there?
And you will hear the screams of children crying.
Oh, my God. How many kids died in that fire?
All I know is there was a story of a young kid named Jacob, and he snuck out to use the outhouse with an oil lamp. And when he was sneaking his way back in, the person in charge of the orphanage caught him and yelled at him.
You scared him.
As he was on the steps, he dropped the lamp, and everything caught on fire.
Oh, my God.
Half the kids burned to death, and the other half died from the shock of watching their friends burn.
What a tragedy.
So if you go to this little town in Vermilion, you will hear some freaky things happen.
How come they never cleaned that area up?
I don't know. It's a park property, but we some parts were colder than others in this area, and we got quiet, and we had the girls speak to the children, and they responded to the girls and the girls only. And we heard some freaky stuff.
That is one spooky story.
Yes.
It is.
And we also saw fingerprints on some of the windshields of our cars.
Oh, no. Enough. You're scaring me too much. That is spooky. Okay. Hey, thanks. Appreciate you being part of the program. Next up, let's go to our East of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Hello. Where are you?
This is Tom from Pittsburgh.
Hey, Tom.
I got a little story for you.
Okay.
It happened back in about 79. It was me and my two cousins. We were out on our bicycles going to my cousin's house, and it's about midnight, you know, out pedaling on a back road. We get up by this farmhouse, and my one cousin, we decided to scare the other cousin. So we told him this story about this farmer that lived here at this farm, and he got mad at this guy with a motorcycle, kept riding up and down the road. So he strung cat gut across the road. And then when the motorcycle guy come down through, he hit the cat gut, cut his head off.
Oh,
so every night at midnight, he's riding the road looking for his head. So after I said that, we looked at each other, and all of a sudden we heard a motorcycle. And all three of us took off. I mean, I was scared.
It is probably a real motorcycle, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah, but, I mean, it came out. We didn't see it. We'd never seen the motorcycle or not, but it just scared. We scared ourselves.
Yeah, of course.
You know, we were telling the story.
Timing was incredible.
Oh, man. I mean, we pedal bike so fast. We made record time up to my cousin's house.
If you had wings on your bicycle, you would have taken off.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, thanks.
Hey, George, you do a good job. I like the show. I listen to it every night at work.
Well, thank you.
And you keep me going.
All right. That's what we're here for.
All right. You have a good one.
Okay. Take care. Next up, let's go to our West of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead, sir.
Bob from Seattle.
Hi, Bob. KBI land.
That's right. But I was not XM.
Okay.
Back in the early 80s, I was in the Army in Frankfurt, Germany, and I knew a group of people who for years had, at Halloween, several weekends in a row, gone to the original Frankenstein's castle above this little town called Eberstadt and had a haunted house. So for 3 years, I participated in this haunted house in the original Frankenstein's castle.
Was it huge, this house, like a mansion?
Well, it was a castle, but it was a small castle. It had a courtyard and a few rooms in the tower, and part of it was a restaurant.
Did it have a laboratory?
No, it was pretty old, and it was kind of broken down. It had a cellar. The story goes that there was actually this Dr. Frankenstein who was doing experiments on bodies. He'd take them out of the graveyard and do experiments, trying to learn how things worked. And the town actually did get upset and come up there and with their torches and everything. And Mary Shelley had visited there.
I think you might be right. I actually think there was a person who would do that, and his last name was Frankenstein, as they would say, Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Did you see any remnants of the burned portion of the castle, or have they cleaned that up?
It's really kind of a tourist place to go, except when it was haunted at Halloween by this group of people.
Was it spooky?
Well, when we did it, it was.
It's got an eerie flavor to it, doesn't it?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. And they did a recreation of the monster rising, you know, every couple hours, and there was several little show things, and it was fun.
I used to go to these haunted houses every once in a while in St. Louis. In St. Louis, they've got some great ones, and they are scary. And some of the people who put those on do a great job. I'll be back another hour to go of open lines, and then at the end of next hour, I'll be doing the Edgar Allan Poe's Telltale Heart.